Greetings, my fellow Earthlings. Welcome to Raven's Rabbit Hole. I am your intrepid host, Raven McMinn, and this is my Cosmic Rabbit Hole, a place where we keep an open mind, we question everything, we speak our truth freely, we think outside the box, we walk on the wild side, down roads less traveled, and we always maintain a healthy sense of humor. If you're interested in extraterrestrials or parallel worlds, other dimensions, star seeds, crystals, lost history, metaphysics, quantum science, paranormal phenomena, or if you are a tinfoil hat designer, then you are in the right place, my friend. But all are welcome here. With one foot firmly grounded in Mother Earth and in science and logic, and the other foot out exploring the cosmos for the wooest that woo-woo can give, each week it is my intention to bring you topics and guests that will expand your awareness, raise your consciousness, and give you some humor about this crazy world that we live in. It's my sincerest hope that you find this next hour either educational, inspiring, interesting, empowering, or at the very least, entertaining. Whatever the case may be, I thank you for being here. I'd like to invite you to be part of our private chat room. And to do so, go to 12radio.com. There on the left-hand side, the third one down, you'll see chat. Click that. If you've never joined our group before, then you will see a page that says ask to join group. So give that a click. And my wonderful producer, Jay, the wizard of all things 1-2, will let you right in our private chat room. Just look for my banner where it says Raven's Rabbit Hole, and you're free to comment and post under there. And just know that anything you put in there will not show up on your timeline. So it's all private and top secret. So I want to thank Jay, who's back in the saddle here as my producer tonight. And thank you for producing the show and getting me on the air and sounding good. I couldn't do this without you. Thank you. All right, I'm going to get over to the chat room. Give everybody a hello that is there before we get started here. Excuse me. I have the 1-2 frog has shown up in my throat, and I need to mute for just a second, clear my throat. It always happens when I get on air. Why that is, I don't know. I never have to cough until I get live mic in front of me. Okay, there's the 1-2 video chat room. And here we go. Let's see here. There's Terry. Hi, Terry. How are you? Welcome to the show. And there's Cindy. Welcome to the show. How are you doing? Who else we got here? Let me expand this little page here. There's Renee. Hi, Renee. Welcome to the show. I need to put, I wonder why it does that. We always have to stop for a moment and click on where it says most relevant. And how it chooses that, I have no idea. But I have to go to all messages so I can be sure to see all of you. And I will get that now. Here we go. There's Pamela. Hi, Pamela. Welcome to the show. Hello, Wabbits, she says. And there's Tara. Welcome to the show, Tara. Good to see you here tonight. And where are we going here? Got Terry. I think I got everybody so far. Yep. I'll be back here in a little bit to check in with y'all. And I want to give a big birthday shout out to Nathan from the Quantum Show. Today is his birthday. You can catch the Quantum Show on YouTube on Saturday nights at 9 Central. Look for the Quantum Nathan at the Quantum Show. And put that in a search bar and find him there. So happy birthday, Nathan. And we have a Aries moon tonight. And Aries is good for, I love Aries moons because they, that's the time to change your hairstyle. It's a very active moon sign. You know, they're very impulsive, kind of impulsive. It's a good time also to apply for a new job, to have your eyes checked, to join a sports club. And it is good to buy the following things. Sunglasses, which I do need a new pair. hats, knives. Or a car. And in other announcements here, this Friday is the full moon. I don't know if you guys are feeling it yet or not. I know I am. It will be a full moon in Taurus. It's known as the morning moon. And speaking of morning, I want to give a shout out to the friends and family of Patrick, my neighbor, who suddenly passed away last week. Came as quite a shock to all of this. And so, Patrick, I know you're probably listening there from the other side. And so, thank you for everything and being a good friend, as well as my neighbor. And I will miss the fireworks interrupting my show. So, happy trails, buddy. Also, this Friday is the Moon Project. And so Jay and I host that every full moon and every new moon. To register for that, go to 12academy.com and look for the Moon Project, and you can register there. We have openings, so we have some room for you. We'd love to see you there. And let's see, what other just do I have? Oh, I learned something really cool this week. Yeah. We've done several shows here on the Mandela effect. And there's a couple new ones. I was listening to a program a couple nights ago, and these people that were being interviewed, that's all they study is kind of like their favorite pastime is finding out and hearing people send in all these new Mandela effects. Well, I had to Google this for myself, and they said the Mona Lisa was different. That famous painting. Check that out. There's two major things in the Mona Lisa that are different. So see if you can guess what they are. I don't want to ruin it, so I won't give a spoiler on that. And the other one was the Union Jack, the British flag. And it took me a while to look at it to see, it took me a while to figure out what it is, but I finally found it. So maybe I'll let you know at the end of the show if you want to go close now. Interesting. The Union Jack one's more subtle, but the Mona Lisa, that really kind of freaked me out a little bit. I don't know. Thought those were kind of fun. So today was a historical day. It was supposed to, the hype around it was quite intense. And in that regard, it was a bit of a letdown. It had been anticipated as one of these days where you would want to write that down in your calendar that you were there and wanted to tell the grandkids about, because it was supposed to be this huge, huge day of disclosure about the UFOs and the UA, well, they call them UAPs now, but for all intents, it's the UFOs. Okay. And there was all this hype around it. Jeremy Corbell is a known very well in the UFO community. He is a filmmaker. And he's really the one responsible for all the hype. And so, with great anticipation, although feeling intuitively that this was going to be a big nothing burger, I wasted 2 hours of my life watching the whole thing today. And so, for those of you who didn't waste 2 hours of your day, there were some important takeaways. So, I thought I'd bring that up tonight as our point of discussion. And I have a link here for you that I'm going to put here in the chat where you can see. You can watch it, the replay of it, if you so desire, on YouTube. And there's transcripts for it all as well. And this was the Joint Subcommittee on the Oversight and Accountability. It's a subcommittee of a larger committee, but it's the U.S. Congressional Hearing on UFOs, Exposing the Truth was the title of it. So I thought, well, hey, maybe we might get something out of this after all. I have to say it was a bit of a letdown. Not a bit. It was a huge letdown, although I'm not surprised. A lot of it really, for those that are in the UFO community or on the outskirts, I would consider myself on the outskirts of it. It was pure theater. It was pure theater. I didn't really learn anything new from the witnesses that showed up today. And the witnesses, it was kind of an interesting group of witnesses they had. First was Michael Schellenberger. He's a journalist and a professor. Why he was there, I'm not even totally sure. And I've even watched the whole thing twice. The next one was Luis Elizondo. You've heard me talk about him. He was a former Department of Defense official. He is also an author. He was part of a program that was called I just had this up on my thing here. ATIP, and former director of the Pentagon, now defunct AARO program, the AARO. He's just released a book last month, which I have not read yet, but a lot of my friends have. And it does have some explosive information in there. And I can't help but wonder why he didn't bring forth the information that is in his book that's out there in the public. There were several opportunities for him to have brought that information forward in today's hearing, and he did not. He, like the others, claimed to be under these NDAs, which is a non-disclosure agreement. And whenever there were, like, you know, really direct questions, they were like, okay, I can't tell you here publicly, but I can tell you behind closed doors type thing. I'm like, oh God, here we go again. You know, next time they have one of these hearings, I hope that they screen their witnesses better. And anybody that's under one of these NDAs, just tell them to stay home. You know, just a waste of time. It's the same shit, different day. God, you know, question after question. And here's the rub of it. We've got, I think they threw the figure out of $380 billion of taxpayers' money is spent on these programs. And yet they will neither confirm nor deny that UFOs are real. So, then where the hell is all of our money going, right? I mean, that's a lot of money. Do you know that I also learned when I was digging around through some of this stuff today that the Department of Defense has never once been able to balance their budget or account for all the money they get? Not once. Not even once. That's really sad. So either they got some bum accountants in there or somebody. I think we all know the answer to that. I'm not even going to go there. Not even going to go there. What's really going on? What's really going on, right? So, but not to be all negative about this. What I noticed about the line of questioning was interesting. And you have to understand, too, this is a process. It's going to be a slow process. There are still people out there. I know none of you listeners of this show fall into this category, but there are some people out there that have a more fragile grasp of reality, shall we say, that this information, once confirmed and on, you know, the mainstream news, nightly news, may find it really shattering, and it may, really rock their view of reality, and it may affect them badly. Now, this has been an excuse of a lot of these secret agencies for a long time. You know, oh my gosh, you know, people won't go to work the next day or bathe for over a week, and we'll have a whole breakdown of society and blah, blah, blah. And while that is somewhat possible, I think it's very unlikely at this point in the end of 2024, especially with all of the things out there that are, you know, the movies, the documentaries, the things on the History Channel, like the UFO Hunters that's been on for a couple decades. You know, the idea isn't foreign, but it is still in a state of plausible deniability where it still can be laughed off or just, you know, written off as fiction. Since, you know, nobody at CNN or MSNBC or anybody like that has come out and said, yes, these things are real. Here's a picture of it. It landed in the White House front lawn. You know, that's what those people are waiting for before they will, you know, entertain the thought of these things actually being real. For anybody that's seen one, you know how ridiculous some of this stuff is and the stonewalling that goes on. I love that Timothy Burchett. He's from Tennessee. I love how he just cuts to the chase with his questioning and so forth. He's been trying to get to the bottom of this now for over a year. He did some questioning today, you know, and to every direct, oh my gosh, they're fighting over my desk corner here. For every like really direct question, it was always the same answer from all of them. Four that were there, all these four witnesses, you know, I can neither confirm nor deny, but I can tell you about it, you know, blah, blah, blah. So that was kind of disappointing. But what What I want to say here is that the questions, though, the questions compared to what they, it was like a year and a half ago that they had the first hearing. And everybody's all excited about that. And then they were all let down. And so then they had higher hopes that this one would be different. But the line of questioning has changed. That's what I noticed. And whereas it was just kind of very generalized and all over the map, the last hearing, this hearing was different. This was very specific in its questioning. Not that they got any answers, but at least it told me that these people, these congresswomen and men and women are doing some homework and they're talking to somebody else. They're talking to some other people out there because they were very specific and they were even targeting questions that I surprised me about fell off my chair when the one lady was talking asking about, do you know about any hybrids? Alien human hybrids and that program. I wasn't expecting that. From this point, from last year, I mean, everything's been kind of generic. But then they were even discussing things like, do you have any information pertaining to genetic manipulation to create super soldiers and blend, the machines with people? And I'm like, oh man, they're really getting into it. Wow. Okay, so that impressed me. That impressed me a little bit that they were also asking, where on the planet are the majority of these things witnessed? And are there, places that seem to have more activity than others? They wouldn't even answer that question. It's like, what they need to do is have witnesses, have the airline pilots, have the credible witnesses, and have another hearing and let them speak. Let them talk to them and tell them what they know. There have people that have been, abducted. They were even kind of dancing around the topic as to whether or not these were live biological entities or non-biological entities. And yet, Luis Elizondo was talking about how, we're constantly having to redefine what we consider living and non-living. We, and blah, blah, blah. What is this? A biology lesson? He was going on about, some of these different extremophobe creatures that we have found, that are actually alive and they live, like down in the Marianas Trench and they're, it's just crazy. Just, yeah, okay, whatever. We have this thing, that little it's not really an insect and it's not really a worm. It's a, so it's called a tardigrade. I remember a big deal about them. They can live out in space because they found them on the outside of the windows on the space station. It's a living thing, but it doesn't need oxygen, apparently, but it's alive. So he, dancing, it's like, come on, we're not talking about, a whole, we don't need a whole diatribe on biology. Okay, just tell us, are the things that are piloting the craft alive or not alive, as in artificial intelligence? That's it's pretty easy question. What do they think they are? Wouldn't answer it. I can talk to you in private quarters about this. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. So anyway, I do think that this is a process. It's just going to be a slower process than what we all had hoped it would be. And I know I certainly won't get too excited the next hearing they have. And I'm sure that they will, because the frustration on the part of the congressmen and women was it was very clear. They're sick and tired of being told that they can't get any answers. And they'll tell them behind closed doors and all this kind of stuff. And yeah, it's very frustrating, especially when you got $380 billion. Where did it go? And one congresswoman, she's like, okay, well, if you could neither confirm nor deny whether these things are real, then how and why is $380 billion being allocated to these programs? What up? One of the other characters that was there, and I do mean characters, he was quite animated. His name was Michael Gold, and he's from NASA. You remember what NASA stands for, right? NASA, never a straight answer. They're probably the biggest block in the way of stonewalling information of any organization. For real. I mean, His answers all came from a perspective of money and funding. He's like, well, with a little bit more funding, NASA could do this and we could do that and we could put it all on AI and we could go, NASA has tons and tons of archives of stuff and we could, put that all, on a disk and do all this kind of stuff to, and then we could get some more funding. We could have more cameras. We're trying to look at an object through, a phone camera or a dash cam camera, and you can't really study anything clearly, with those devices, but we could get some high power. And so I'm thinking, wait a minute, we've got a James Webb telescope out there that's photographing universes that are billions of light years away. I think you've got the equipment, modify it a little bit. And I think we've already done that, haven't we? I mean, that's another one. He was just all about the oh, we can do this. Like, you've already got the stuff. Speak. He was deflecting everything off to, oh, I'm sure it's there somewhere in some of those, boxes in the back room full of, testimony written up stuff. It's like, oh my God. The one document that was given to Congress about these things. And I think it was a Department of NASA that provided it. And I'm not kidding you when I say he held up the paper and there was almost everything blacked out, save for maybe two sentences. Whole report was, somebody took a big black fat Sharpie and X'd it all out, drove over it. I'm like, I would be embarrassed to submit something like that. I mean, what the hell? Clearly, there's a growing animosity here, because these corporations that are involved with the Pentagon and the Department of Defense, they all say, well, we can't talk about this, we can't talk about that, and they're getting nowhere with the Department of Defense because they're submitting documents to things, but over two-thirds of the document is blacked out and unreadable. And it's just like pulling teeth trying to get anything out of these people. And one of the things, one of the tricks that's used by the Pentagon is they privatize some of these back engineering programs, like to Lockheed Martin, for example. That's one of them. And see, they're not under any obligation to divulge anything because they are a private corporation. Unlike government agencies, which, because they are funded with taxpayers' money, are supposed to divulge information when requested. So they need to rewrite that and say, yes, you have to provide us information that doesn't have two-thirds of it blacked out. So there's all these factions at play here. So this could be a while before we really honestly get any kind of disclosure, but disclosure is happening more on a grassroots level. It's happening on a personal level. It's your neighbor that, saw something in the backyard last night and is telling you about it. It's, just grassroots people coming together and talking about stuff. There's been many, many witnesses to these UFOs in the daylight, all at the same place. There's even two in particular that I know of, two schools that the children went outside with the teacher and they all observed this disc. One was in Australia and the other one I think was either England or the United States. But anyway, call those people in. We all know, something's going on and we're not getting a straight answer. I don't know if we'll ever get a straight answer, quite frankly. I don't know. A lot of changes and a lot of shaking up going on in Washington right now, so maybe we can. There's just been such a The excuse that they give for this, for the secrecy, is that first of all, they don't want to look bad. The Department of Defense, with their outrageous budget, doesn't want to admit the fact that there's something going on in the sky that they don't know what it is or where it's from and what its intentions are. And they don't want to look weak to our adversaries around the globe, And I can understand that to a point. Yes, I can understand some of that maybe needs to be under wraps until we can figure it out. But other countries have had this disclosure. I mean, if you go over to India, for example, they'll laugh you right out. Well, of course they're real. You know, they have these documents going back over 4,000 years called the Vedas. Talk about them. They're depicted in art. They're just an accepted part of society. It's no big deal to them. They already know they're real. They already know that there's, been interaction between them. And so, yeah, they're like, what's the big deal? Other countries have had a lot of disclosure, and yet this game continues. So, I wouldn't look for it ever really to be admitted to. And here's the other thing about that: not only do they not want to look bad, and admit that they don't know really what everything flying around in the skies are. They're flying around with anonymity. They can go wherever they want to go, and there's nothing that we have that can catch them if we were to pursue them. A lot of times they are found around our nuclear military bases. They're observing, they're watching. That is a comfort to me. Okay. I don't think that they're going to set off the nukes. No, I think they're making sure we don't set off the nukes. And I have heard some of the experiencers say that their ET contacts have told them that they will dis, what do you call it? Not disengage. Oh, make it so oh, come on. Deactivate. There we go. That's the word I'm looking for. That they will deactivate them if they are deployed. That gives me great comfort. Thank God somebody's watching over that, because all it takes is one nuke and it screws up everybody. No matter where it lands on the planet. We're talking about a disruption of the whole entire food chain, not to mention the fallout and the yeah, so I don't need to even go there. You understand what I'm saying. So, yeah, that does give me some comfort about that. And the other point to this is all money. You always want to follow the money whenever you're investigating anything, right? You know that. So, if this technology and all this stuff that they have been working on, because I think some of the UFOs are ours, I really do. Yeah, absolutely. They've back engineered some things. There was evidence of that too in this little bit of that in the hearing. They wouldn't come right out and say it, but by the line of questioning and how you can take a question and ask it four different ways and get a little bit more information each time, that was a lot of that going on. But in Luis Elizondo, in his book, that came out last month, has stated absolutely for the record that our country, the United States of America, is in possession of non-human craft technology. Boom, there it is. Now, why they wouldn't just come right out and say it bluntly on national television today, I don't know. But if this comes out, if and when this comes out, I think eventually it has to, but well, what is that going to do to the oil industry? What is that going to do to the economy? There are those factions that don't want any of this talked about. They tried to stop this hearing from even happening today. The congresswoman in charge of the hearing even mentioned that in her opening statement, because they're getting fat and rich off keeping things just the way they are. Oil industry is a big industry, so of course they're not any people. People that own these oil companies are not in any big hurry for any disclosure. They don't want the flying cars or the, I'm sure Elon Musk really irritates them with his electric cars and so forth. And that's just one of the industries. They would also probably really disrupt the pharmaceuticals. And that's where your destabilization would probably come from. Is the oil industry, your pharmaceuticals, the big guys. They're calling the shots. So there's all those factors involved. And I believe that's why this is taking so, such a painful, it's painful to watch sometimes, and it's just painful to listen to. And I f first My first thought today was, well, that was a good waste of 2 hours of my time. But then when I thought about it, there are some good takeaways from this, and it's going to be a process. Yeah, there's going to be some people out there, no matter how long you wait and how much you show them, they're going to freak out. Okay, well, hopefully not too bad. And I think that number is getting fewer and fewer as this stuff comes out. They need to have, you know, regular hearings. They don't have the power, though, to make these people come to heel. And I'm sitting here screaming, you know, defund NASA, just cut off their funding until they produce the documents that you're wanting. And not blacked out, by the way, you know, give me information. Yeah, they get some reaction real fast. You know, a couple of the congressmen were talking about how they've submitted requests for information under the Freedom of Information Act. You know, they've been and they just keep getting stonewalled and ignored. Well, there's nothing that they can do. There's no repercussions. You know, these departments are like, you know, it's kind of like that annoying little fly that keeps buzzing around here. Yeah, just swat it away. You know, what the hell are you going to do about it? And they don't have anything they can do about it. They can't force them. But what Congress could do, cut off their money. I think that they would, you know, if they gave them the power to do that, these special committees, if they had some clout like that and had the authority to do it, I think we would have very different public hearings going on here. Very, very different. They keep talking about to these people, you know, well, we'll go back in the back room, you know, and I can tell you, you know, off camera. Well, then what is that congressman going to do with that information? You know, are they going to try to make that congressman then sign a non-disclosure agreement? Because there's nothing to prevent him. He didn't make the agreement. He could turn around and come back into the courtroom and say, hey, this is what, you know, Louis just told me, or so-and-so just told me, you know, it's just a game. The other witness that was there was Dr. Tim Gallaudet. He was a retired, but he was the rear admiral for the U.S. Navy. And he had witnessed things on the river and had reports come into him of things that, you know, the officers had seen and so forth. He was under a gag order. Didn't really say anything new. Featured on Sean Ryan podcast. I think it was maybe 2 months ago. I'm not sure, but within this last year, he was brought out and interviewed. It was a really good interview. And yet, there was more disclosure on that interview and that podcast than what he said in that courtroom today. You know? And then the other guy that was there was Michael Gold. He was the former administrator of, I can't read my own writing here, former administrator of space policy. And he was the one that was, you know, pretty much just touting, oh, just give NASA more money, give NASA more money, and we'll do this and we'll do that and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, whatever. Shut up, sit down. So it was frustrating overall, but like I said, the takeaway that I got from it that was encouraging is the line of questioning was much more detailed and much more broad, as far as it wasn't just about the techno aspect of it. You know, it was some of these other things, hybrid programs, genetic testing, cloning, making of super soldiers, things like that. There's a lot of programs that were started back in the 50s that are well underway. That was another question that came up, you know, why these projects that are so old, and if they've been disbanded, why can't you talk about them? Well, obviously because of it, right? Yeah, that was my. I'm going to go to the chat room now and see what you all are saying. So, yeah, drop me a note in the chat. Tell me what you think of disclosure. Do you feel like we're going to get it? We're not going to get it. You don't need it, or you don't believe in it, or, you know, where you're at with it. I'd like to I'd like to know. And Facebook, come on now. What are you doing here? Well, I see just nothing but a black screen. There we go. There we go. Oh, Facebook is always messing with me. It's my nemesis for sure. Okay. Pamela says it's more of a stretch. Oops. Page just skipped. Hold on here. Pamela says, okay. It's more of a stretch to think that we are alone in the universe. Oh, yes. No kidding. I mean, it's to anybody who's looked up at the night sky, especially if you can get away from the city lights and really get a good look at the night sky, and you see how abundant all those stars are, and think about the fact that those are all a solar system. Those all have planets around them. I mean, it's just mind-boggling when you get into the numbers of stars you're seeing out there and the planets that are going around them and so forth. There's just no way. There's just no way that we are the only life. No way. It just, no. Okay, she says, oh yeah, hello, Robin. Okay. I couldn't agree more, Pamela. Okay, let me get some other comments here. Tell me what you think of disclosure. Are we going to get it? Are we not going to get it? Do we need it? Do we care about it? Let me get this. Once again, I have to pause here for a moment so that I can click down on all comments so I can see everybody here. And it takes Facebook a moment here to recycle for me. And there we go. Okay. All right. Oh, it's some cute gifts in there tonight. Those are good. Oh, there's my Dancing Wednesday. Thank you, Renee. I love that. I look forward to that every week. I love that. Let's see. Yeah, Renee says, I've heard about this on Good Morning UFO. Yep, that's Amy's channel. I was there this morning, too, at the congressional hearing on UFOs. Yes, yes. She said she might come back on tonight if she was impressed with anything, and I haven't seen that she came back on, so she's probably a little disappointed like I am, too, tonight, but we'll see. She'll be back again on Friday, and that's Alien Girl 111 has now switched to Good Morning UFO over on YouTube. And Amy, she was here on the show. Amy broadcast on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays over there on YouTube. You can check her out bright and early in the morning, though. It's at 6 a.m. Central Time, which I believe is 7 Eastern, 5 Mountain. Okay, let me see here. Oh, wow, that's really cool. That's a tarot card that says rabbit hole. Wow, neato. I'll have to check that out. Yeah, and Cindy's got a good thing posted here in the chat room. Take a look at that. It's the Tic Tac and the Gimbal footage that was released a year ago by the military. But see, and that's even really old footage. We have so much better footage of these UFOs in high definition and in color, by the way, than this crap that they're feeding us. Oh, it's just really, it's just aggravating. It's really frustrating. And there's Rachel. Hello, Rachel. Welcome to the show. And, Cindy says, I'm so sorry about your dearest friend. Oh, yeah. May his sweet spirit surround you. Thank you. Thank you, Cindy. Yeah, he's going to be missed. He is going to be missed. He was just one of these great guys. Just genuinely, he's just 100% genuine and always helpful and nice, generous, funny as hell. All around great guy. Yeah, he will be missed. I'll even miss the fireworks. Okay, and Tara says, so exciting to finally see shifts. Pamela says, why do they call it disclosure when they don't disclose anything? No kidding. One of the congressmen said, you know, is this a case of Fight Club where we don't talk about Fight Club? Yeah, we can't talk about Fight Club, but there is Fight Club. Same thing with this UFO thing. Oh, and there's Terry. Terry says, Dancing Under the Moonlight. Yeah. Where's the song Dancing in the Moonlight? Can't remember who that's by now. I'm gonna be having that song in my head for the rest of the night. Let's see. Yeah, Pamela says, by the time they disclose anything, it will be common knowledge. Yeah, amen, sister. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. So, yeah, let me know here in the chat room, you guys, if you've ever seen a UFO. I need to do another UFO show. The thing that I had been watching and filming, I got to get them all uploaded to YouTube here. I got one of them on YouTube now on my channel. I haven't really talked about my channel much because I'm still working on the art and getting it ready. But I've got on my phone, I've got, jeez, I can't tell you how many UFO videos that I have filmed here at the house. And then there's this about a mile or two from the house, there's a housing addition, and it's got a big, huge, vast expanse of just open, an open lot. And I see stuff. I drive past it on my way to Walmart, and I stop there and film some stuff too. And some of it could be drones, sure. And that's another thing, my neighbor, I'm going to miss Patrick on too, because when I would go out and I would see the UFO, I would hurry and text him. And then if he was up, he'd go out and look at it too. And a couple nights we sat there, watched the thing together till the wee hours of the morning, trying to figure out if it's a drone or if it's, you know, really a craft. And it, yeah, I just was so happy to have, you know, a witness so that I knew I wasn't losing my mind. And he got his brother looking at it too. So, yeah, three sets of eyes, and yeah, it was definitely a phenomenon. It was definitely there. Well, it left, and it's been gone for like 9, 10 months, and it's back again. It's back again. Just this last week, it's back again. Now, who am I gonna call? Who you gonna call? Ghostbusters. Yeah. Well, anyway, yeah, Patrick would be greatly missed. So let me get back over here to the chat room, and oh. I have a really interesting video that I'll be posting here right after the show because I can't multitask very well, you know. There's a video that I found on the Coast to Coast website. I think of some of the greatest stuff there under their news. And it is a security camera, kind of watching a busy street somewhere in, I think they said Taiwan, or it might have been Korea. And you see, you know, they ride bicycles a lot there, and a couple cars are in it. It's just showing the traffic going by, but then you see this cyclist coming, and before he gets past the view from the hedgerow that's there, the dude just disappears. He disappears. You see a little bit more of the bicycle just with no one riding it, and then it, you know, out because there's a line of trees and shrubbery there. Yeah, I went back and I played it several times, over and over and over. I don't know much about DJI because you know how I am with computers. So, but I don't. It looks authentic. It really looks authentic. This dude, he's riding the bicycle, and then boom, you just see the bicycle with no rider on it. He just gone. You would think the bicycle would fall over. It wouldn't continue going. I don't know. It's crazy. I'm going to put that in the chat room for you. It's just nuts. And that was a good one. And there's a another one too. Oh gosh, I forgot my notes. I'm trying to remember what it is now. Let me go back to the chat room here. I have links in here that I'll put in also for the there's a transcript of today's read and just hit some of the highlights, or you can watch the thing on video. There's some interesting parts, you know, and for anybody that's new to this topic, this would be, you know, a great way to familiarize yourself with what it's all about and what all is going on up there. You know, they could drag this dog and pony show out for years. I don't think they can though. Well, they could, I suppose. I don't know. It would take a more unified effort. The whistleblowers that come forward are not whistleblowers. Because a whistleblower, everything on the line to tell the truth. You know, they don't give answers, but they've signed an NDA, non-disclosure agreement. They don't say, I can neither confirm nor deny. They don't, you know, when they start off a sentence like that, it's like, okay, here we go, blah, 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 blah. You know, these whistleblowers are, I think, just, well, they're government employees, of course. David Grush, I'm surprised David Grush wasn't there. And they're kind of like the spokesperson for some of these Department of Defense, departments that are completely compartmentalized, so that all the people that are working on it, they don't know what the right hand or left hand's doing. They just know their little piece of it, and they're not allowed to talk about it or compare notes. Kind of like the Area 51. Remember all that? How Area 51 didn't exist? And Bob Lazar is the one that broke the seal on that one. And yeah, okay, finally, eventually the government had to admit, yes, there is an Area 51. But by then, they moved it. There's now an Area 52. It's like this cat and mouse game we play with our government. You know, and it's just, I don't know. I can understand some of it. Maybe at the very beginning of maybe some technological stuff, we don't want our enemies. We got whatever. I can understand that. But this is way beyond that. This is way beyond that. Compartmentalize those little doodads, but the overall general topic and all this ridicule, you know, people's lives have been destroyed because of this topic. There have been pilots, you know, wanting to tell the truth, their internal to their commander, and then they're sent off for psychiatric evaluation, and they're grounded, meaning that they can't fly their planes. Some of them have been discharged and had their, yeah, some of them have been submitted to psychiatric hospitals. That's where it really gets evil, as far as I'm concerned, is they destroying people's lives over something they know is real, but they ridicule these people because they have a veil of secrecy. And I feel sorry, and I think that there should be some kind of restitution paid to those families that have lost loved ones over this sort of stuff. So, UFO researchers that have been murdered. I'll just come right out and say it again. A lot of them were murdered. And they, you know, it was made to look like a suicide, or it was recorded as a suicide. Well, when the body is, who was part of the cabinet for President Truman, I can't remember his name off the top of my head right now. They just rushed him off to a psych ward and wouldn't even let him come and see him. And next thing you know, he dead on the pavement below, apparently had jumped out a window, but he had a you know, little tubes that they have, IV tubes, that was tightly around his feet, strangled. Now, you're not going to strangle yourself and then throw yourself. Who does that? Right? We have some coordination, I would think. Anyway, it's not funny. It's ridiculous. Some of the suicides, guy up on his roof takes his nail gun and shoots himself in the head 5 times. How in the hell could you even do it twice if you were crazy enough to even do it once? Okay, 5 times, 5 nails in the head. Don't commit suicide by nail guns like that. They just don't. But yet that was ruled a suicide. So, you know, Paul Schneider was one of the first whistleblowers talking about bases where a lot of this experimentation and so forth is developed and tested, especially when it comes to genetics. And he was found in a very compromising way, and again, it was a strangulation thing. They tried to see what self-pleasuring and trying a technique that just went bad, you know, trying to even bring humiliation to him to further discredit him, and that was just wrong. That's just wrong. So, I mean, yeah, the whole Men in Black thing, that Men in Black thing is for real, folks. It's not like the movies, but the whole bit about, government visiting you and the Men in Black. I don't know if they have a little pencil thing that can beep, erase your memory or anything, but there are three employees of our deep state, of our government, that will visit you if you talk too much. If you cross the wrong person up there, that is a very real thing. So it's nothing really to laugh at. It's interesting how Hollywood often will take these of UFOs, UFO people aspects of the whole thing, and make movies out of it. And it's called Soft Disclosure. We've had a lot of Soft Disclosure. The movie, oh gosh, had the death in it. Da, 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 da. What's that called? Third Close Encounters of the Third Kind. That was it. Yeah, I remember that movie. I was just, oh, I had to go back and see it a couple times. The soundtrack, and that movie impressed me so much. That was based on a real story, a true story, where there was an exchange done with some, I think they were called Ebens. They weren't grays, but they are kind of gray. They're really short, supposed to be allegedly somewhat friendly, and they did like an exchange program, and that was under Project Pegasus, I think, maybe. I don't know. I didn't look that up. I didn't think I was going to be talking about that. I'm just going sh straight from memory on that. But anyway, okay. Well, I have talked down to the end of the show here, and let me see if there's anything more in the chat room real quick before we sign off. I'm going to have to do a refresh, so I don't think there will be time for that. Okay. Well, all of you, thank you so much for joining me tonight. Thank you for being in the chat room, staying up late with me to talk about UFOs. And if you want to take a moment and let me know in the chat if you've seen a UFO, I would appreciate it. And I will be back live again next week. And remember that you are stardust. You are made of the very stuff that stars are made of. Isn't that cool? So shine your light. You have a beautiful light inside you, and the world needs light, more love, more acceptance, more peace. So bloom where you're planted and be that light for somebody. Okay. All right. I love y'all. I'll see you next week. You've been listening to Raven's Rabbit Hole on 12radio.com, where we're changing the way that you listen to a changing world. Good night, everybody. Bye-bye.